Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
A barber in a small town had recently received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He had begun to grow in the Lord. He had begun to read the Bible. He was learning how to pray, but the one thing he hadn't done yet was share his faith with someone. So one day, as he was getting ready for the day, he decided that he was going to share his faith with the first person that came into his barber shop that morning. Soon after he opened his shop, the first man came in and said, "I would like a shave." The barber said, "Sure, just sit here in the seat and I'll be with you in just a moment." The barber went into the back and prayed a quick, desperate prayer, saying, "God, the first customer came in and I'm going to witness to him. So give me the wisdom to know just the right thing to say to him. Amen." Then quickly the barber came out with the Bible in one hand and his sharp razor knife in the other hand. And the words that came out of his mouth were, "Good morning, sir. I have a question for you. Are you ready to die?" Evangelism. It's kind of a bad word, isn't it? It's a word that nobody really likes, whether you're the person evangelizing or you're the person getting evangelized. Nobody really enjoys evangelism. It's hard, isn't it? Those other things like reading the Bible or learning how to pray, those things are relatively easy compared to sharing our faith. Well, as we continue our sermon series back on track, looking at the book of Jonah, Jonah was called to do that hard thing. He was called to evangelize a group of people called the Ninevites. Just a little bit of a recap of where we've been. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed on a boat for Tarshish. So God had said, "I want you to go and evangelize the enemies of your people, the Ninevites." He didn't want to do it, and so he went in the opposite direction, got on a boat, and couldn't have wanted to go farther away from his assignment. Well, as we know, that led to a terrible storm that came up on the Mediterranean Sea, and what ended up happening was the sailors there had to throw Jonah overboard, otherwise the storm was just going to get worse and worse. And then God provided this great big fish to swallow up Jonah, and he was inside that fish for 3 days as he considered what he should have done, doing what the Lord had called him to do in going to evangelize those Ninevites. And then at the end of Jonah chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land." As Pastor Ryan preached last week, God gave Jonah a second chance. And he is so gracious to give us second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances as well when we blow it. And then in chapter 3, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came again to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you." Jonah this time obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So he took full advantage of his second chance that God had given to him, and he went to go do the hard work of speaking to these evil people about the Lord and his will for their lives. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, "40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." That's the message that God had given to him to preach to the Ninevites. Well, what's in that little sentence, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown? This was the essence of Jonah's message to the Ninevites. The way that you've been living, you Ninevites, has not been pleasing to God. God sees you, and he's not happy with the way that you're living, the things that you're doing, the things that you're not doing. Either ask him for forgiveness and turn away from your wickedness, or God's wrath is going to fall on you. That's the message that Jonah was sharing with them. You got 40 days to repent. If you don't repent by the end of 40 days, God is going to destroy you and your city because he is not pleased with how you're living. I was thinking about that message and I thought, you know, that message is largely the same for you, me, and to those that we witness to as well. Here's the message that you and I are called to believe and to share. God had a plan for you when he made you. You were made for God. I think a lot of us, we come into this world and we have this idea that somehow we're free agents. We get to do whatever we want to do, right? And we're even told that when we're growing up. You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. But the Bible is pretty crystal clear that God already had a plan for each and every one of us before we ever step foot on this earth. In Revelation chapter 4, I love how it says it in the Old King James. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Why were you and I created? For God's pleasure. Not so that he could be some grandfather up in heaven just watching us and going, "Oh, I wonder what they're going to do next." No, so that we would follow his plan for our lives. It says in Psalm 139, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be." Think about that. Every one of your and my days, God had a plan for every one of them. And it's for his pleasure that we begin this life. It's his pleasure that we have this breath in our lungs, so that we will use it to seek him out, to seek his will for our lives, and then actually do his will for our lives. What is his will for you and me? Well, simply this: to get to know Jesus and then to make Jesus known to the world. That's pretty much the whole purpose of your and my life. And God has specifics on what that's going to look like for each and every one of our lives. Here's the bad news. You and I haven't been seeking out God's plan for our lives. When we come into this world, like I said, we're not seeking God's plan for our lives. We have been living for us. That's what it means to be sinners. We don't live for God. We don't seek out what he would have us to do and to be. We just think we're free agents to get to do whatever we want to do. Because of that, which is essentially wasting our life, wasting the breath that God put into our lungs, you and I deserve harsh punishment, both here and even worse, into eternity. That's the truth. Now, here's the good news. God is willing to forgive you and me all of it, all of our days, months, years that we've wasted doing things our way instead of his way, if we will simply ask Jesus for forgiveness and then vow to live the rest of our life for Him. That's what it means to repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have been wasting my life doing it my way. But I ask you for forgiveness, and I give the rest of my life to you. There's one way. There's one way that we can escape the wrath of God, both here and eternity, and that is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about this message that Jonah was called to share and the message that you and I are called to share. And I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like a doctor. If you went to the doctor's office and the doctor came in and gave you this handful of pills and said, I want you to take these pills, and you didn't know anything else, your question would probably be, why? Why do I need to take all these pills? That one there, doc, looks a little big. I'm not sure that's going to go down very easily. Why would I take this handful of pills? It's not going to make a whole lot of sense unless the doctor diagnoses you first, right? The doctor has to diagnose you and say, the reason I want you to take these pills is because you have this problem with your body, and these pills are going to help you with that problem. Then you're going to be more apt to take the pills that your doctor gives you. Nobody's going to want to receive Jesus unless they first know the problem, unless they're first diagnosed as sinners in the hands of a God who has said in His Word that His wrath is coming. But once we know and understand that His wrath is coming, then we will grip a hold of Jesus Christ, kind of like a parachute. You know, the truth is that Jesus is kind of like a parachute. We're on a plane that's going down. Every one of our planes is going down. We're all on our way to death. And if we have not had our sins forgiven by the time we die, then that plane is going to crash, and that's going to be the end of us. Knowing that there's one way to avoid the wrath of God, and that is Jesus. It's like gripping a hold of that one parachute in that airplane as it's going down. You're not going to let go of it because you know it's your only hope. And that's Jesus. But that's why we got to share the whole story. I can't just go up to somebody and say, you know, you really need to receive Jesus. They'll be like, why? Why do I need to receive Jesus? You first of all need to let people know what the problem is and then what the solution is. We see the same thing a couple thousand years later in the book of Acts, chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and he preaches this. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Many of those people that were listening to Peter's sermon that day had just a few weeks before that were yelling, crucify Jesus, crucify Him. And now, what is he saying? That Jesus that you were yelling to be crucified and was crucified on that cross, God raised Him back to life. And He's coming back to make His enemies His footstool. That's you. And the people were scared to death. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter was saying, there's a parachute. There's someone that can help you out of this mess. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that you crucified. If you will receive him as your Lord and Savior and be baptized, he will wash away all of your sins, and he will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to live the rest of your life for him. And it goes on to say that 3,000 people became Christians that day based on Peter's sermon. Once again, you got to diagnose the problem and then, and only then, give them the solution. Maybe you've tried in the past to share your faith. Maybe you've not found a whole lot of results. Well, maybe this message hopefully will help you to understand what needs to be shared first before we can get to Jesus. Just like on Pentecost, the Ninevites responded to Jonah's message as well. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Sackcloth represented that they were sad over their sin. And they asked God to forgive them. And you know what? God did. And he relented from sending the calamity that he had threatened. So in this short little book of Jonah, we see that that is one of the times that people went from being unrepentant to repentant believers in God. But you know what? There's one other place in this little four-chapter book where people are turned to the faith. And we have to go all the way back to Jonah chapter 1, where it says, "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God." So we're back on that ship again, heading for Tarshish. And God had sent this crazy storm. And what happened with each and every one of those sailors? They started calling out to their false gods. So they asked Jonah, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told him so. Now look at this next line. "Then they cried out to their false gods?" No, they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. What an amazing transformation in just a few verses. They went from calling out to all of their false gods to worshiping the Lord and offering sacrifices to him. What caused all that? What can we take from this? Your life, even your mistakes, just like Jonah's mistakes, can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Every part of your life can be part of your witness. You don't have to pretend like you're perfect when you're trying to share your faith. In fact, it's probably going to go against you if you pretend that you're perfect. No, just be honest. You know, maybe part of your testimony is this. Maybe you say, You know what? For years, I was an alcoholic. For years, I was a drug addict. For years, I was addicted to pornography or whatever it may be. But I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I asked Him to come into my life, and He's really helped me clean up that part of my life. Even your mistakes can be a powerful witness for Jesus, because other people can relate to that. Don't be afraid to share what God has specifically done for you. That's what we call our testimony. And every one of us has a testimony. Every one of us has had God come to our rescue. Whether it was from a sin that He rescued us from, or whether it was from an illness. We had our healing service last night. And I'm sure there's going to be some testimonies from the healing service last night. If you have ever been in dire straits in your life and you called out to God, God, come to my rescue, help me. And He does. That's now part of your testimony. And your very life can be a witness for Jesus Christ. I say this all the time, and it hurts me to say it, but nobody likes to hear a sermon. Everybody likes to hear a story. And you have a story to share of what God has done for you. Remember when you were a kid and you'd all sit around and in kindergarten and first grade, and you would have show and tell, and everyone would bring something to show and tell about? Well, that's what God is calling us to do in this message here today. He's calling us to go and tell people about Jesus, but don't forget to tell them why they need Jesus before giving them the good news of what Jesus did for them on that cross. But then also remember that your life, with your life, you can show people the good news of Jesus Christ as well. You can share your story, and as you share your testimony, it's going to be a powerful witness for the people out there that need God so badly in their lives. So as you and I go about from this place here today, sure, reading the Bible, sure, learning how to pray, but also doing this third very important part of being a Christian, making Jesus known by showing and telling of Him, we're going to be getting back on track with what God wants us to be doing in this coming year. May God grant it to each and every one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.